Benji, for those kind words of introduction. I really want to thank Brother Ishwar Jacob for inviting me, giving me the opportunity to be here on this Mission Sunday to share a little bit about Campus Crusade and also share from the Word of God. I've been here, I think, two or three times before, and it's always a joy and privilege to be here worshiping alongside each one of you. I thank God for that privilege. Some of you know Campus Crusade very well, but I will, for those who don't know much, I'll just go through what Campus Crusade is all about and what are we currently doing across this nation. You know, the verse that we base our ministry is Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20, a very familiar verse, the Great Commission passage for us. And that's the verse that we kind of base our ministry. Everything that we do is revolving around that, to go and make disciples of all nations. And Campus Crusade for Christ is working in India with the help of churches around the country to bring more women, men and women, into Christ's kingdom. So we partner with churches. We work alongside the body of Christ. We don't believe that we can do it all. None of us can do it all. And God has brought the body together to join hands and work together. Our calling is to help fulfill the Great Commission by winning, building and sending in the power of the Holy Spirit and helping the body of Christ to do evangelism and discipleship. If there are two things that really stand out with Campus Crusade is evangelism and discipleship. And we train, we equip people, we equip the church, we resource them, we give them tools that will help them to really make disciples and multiply. And our vision is to build spiritual movements everywhere so that everyone will know someone who truly follows Jesus Christ. We want to see movements across this nation, spiritual movements of multiplication, where lives are being touched and transformed, where leaders are taking the gospel across to their respective spheres of influence. There are three priorities that we look at. The first priority is students, as the name says, Campus Crusade. You know, the ministry started with students. When Dr. Bill Bright initiated the movement, it was the students. And today's students are tomorrow's leaders. So win the campus today, win the world tomorrow when they go out to the workplace. So that was a vision that was given for students. The other priority that we have is leaders, who are today's leaders, who are in the workplace, in the different domains. They are working, we are working with those leaders and helping them to multiply in their spheres of influence. And then churches, the third priority. We partner with the body of Christ. Wherever we get opportunity to partner, we partner with the churches across this nation. Just to give you a glimpse of the ministry at a glance, we have 390 full-time staff across this country. We have 60 ministry teams in different cities focused on reaching these three audiences: students, leaders, churches, partnering with the churches. And then there is also the digital space. I'll talk to you a little bit later about what we do in digital. We also have something in the rural areas. We call that the Bible Community Churches of India. It is a separate entity that was helped started by Campus Crusade with the Church Planting Initiative. I don't know, you might have heard about the Jesus Film that was there many years back. And Jesus Film was widely used across this nation. Millions of people have watched the Jesus Film. Through the Jesus Film, groups were started. And these groups, once the project stopped, these cell groups were, you know, becoming churches. And we kind of helped these churches to be established. And that's the BCCI churches. We have 420 BCCI pastors and around 10,000 multiplying lay leaders with over 13,000 house churches planted. This is across this nation. These are small house churches. And when you say lay leaders, they are multiplying lay leaders. They are almost like, you know, initiators of church movement. Currently this year, we have 412 new church planting initiators. These are new people who select 60 target villages. They geographically select 60 villages, which is like unchurched, unengaged villages. And they are assigned to these places and they start planting churches in these villages. And right now there are 412, and our desire is that by third year they become self-sustaining and they join the BCCI entity. There are around 8,000 plus villages that are being targeted across this nation by these church planters. And we have around 5,000 multiplying student leaders and marketplace leaders giving leadership to the movement in different cities. These are our core leadership teams that are there in different cities. That's why we call them student leaders or marketplace leaders. Just to talk to you about the student movements, we have currently ministries going on in around 500 campuses across this nation. Over 6,000 students are involved. And in the last one, probably around 3 months, the last 3 months' time, we had the privilege of training and equipping around 1,500 students across this country. In evangelism and discipleship in different places, whether it was in Bangalore or in Kerala or in Jharkhand, all these places we had students coming together, getting equipped to be disciple makers, because we know that a staff cannot enter these campuses. None of these campuses are accessible to the staff. And we work through students who are envisioned, empowered and equipped to be disciple makers. So they start the movement in their campuses. They stand as witnesses. We equip them. And we are seeing multiplying movements. We are seeing 3 to 4 generations of multiplying movements in campuses, which is amazing. You know, where some of them who have multiplied over the years are joining as full-time staff with Campus Crusade. This year we have the 4th generation disciples joining as full-time staff with Campus Crusade. So that's about students. We have what we call as the leader impact. Leader impact is reaching today's leaders, and around 1,200 marketplace leaders are giving leadership in over 300 domains, workplaces, 300 domains in 60 cities across India. We have, in the month of January, we had a conference called LIFE Conference, L-I-F-E. L stands for leadership, influence, their finances, and expertise. So L-I-F-E conference was held, and around 300 leaders from across this city, Bangalore, came together and they were equipped to be disciple makers. And so that's what is happening in Leader Impact, where leaders are trained and envisioned to start small movements in their workplace or in their houses, and they become key catalyst for transformation. And as I said, church strategy, I just explained that. I'm not going to get into detail with the vision is to see a multiplying, self-sustaining church in every unchurched, unengaged villages of India. Either it is through the initiative or through partnerships. We have right now partnership with more than 50 agencies across India. And we resource them with Jesus Film. We also train them on how to establish churches. And they are also reaching out to the unchurched, unengaged villages of India. And then we have the digital strategy. The digital movement. There are websites, apps, social media that is being widely used to engage today's students and leaders. We know that, you know, the students are more connected than their friends over the social media and on their mobiles. So the best way to reach them is through that. They are more engaged there. And we are seeing hundreds of students coming to know the Lord through the social media and through the different websites that we have. In fact, everystudent.com is one website that is specifically designed for students, where the students' issues, their life challenges, their deep issues are being addressed in that. And in the last 1 year alone, we saw around 60,000 conversions. I mean, people who have experienced the love of Christ just through that site, the everystudent.com. So that's about the digital movement. And then we have the Jesus Film Project. Jesus Film Project is something that what we are doing right now is, there is this, earlier there was only Jesus Film being used as a tool. Now we have hundreds of short films. When you get time, please go and visit the Jesus Film Project. Any one of us can log in there, use those tools, use those short films to start a conversation. These are all conversation starters. There is segmented versions of Jesus Film. You know, today we read the passage of healing the blind person, or also the demonic who was possessed. Those videos are there, segmented, and we can take those videos, show it to somebody in a 2-minute, 3-minute segment, and ask them what do they think about it, and start a conversation on that. Our students are doing it in the campuses. There are other short films, pre-evangelistic, you know, just normal conversation starters that are there, which can be used to get involved in evangelism and discipleship. And the churches are being trained. We have two new tools that is being used. One is Magdalena, the other one is Rivka. These are two stories taken from Jesus Film. And these two stories are designed for women to engage other women and help them to know Christ. So that is being powerfully used in the churches. That is in short about the ministry of Campus Crusade, what is happening. And we would request your prayer for this ministry. Continue to uphold us in your prayer, especially the church planters who are in the front line, our staff who are in the different cities. Currently, just last week we had to, you know, move two staff from Asansol overnight because a fanatic group started a social media campaign in that locality saying that these two fellows are converting people and they are reaching Hindus around, young Hindus, and getting them converted to Christianity. So that went viral. And we had to overnight move them to Calcutta. And there is another church planter in Rajasthan who has been in the jail for the last 2 months. And he's not getting a bail. He and his associates have been in the jail. Each time they apply for the bail, the police says the case diary is not ready. And the police says we have 90 days time to get the case diary ready. Till then, we will wait. So that's the way they delay. And we just prayed for the anti-conversion law. I think we need to generate a lot of prayer that the Supreme Court will look into it seriously. That the bench will be looking at the Constitution, the freedom of religion that we have enshrined in the Constitution will be taken seriously. And that a right judgment will be passed. I think we need to desperately pray for that, because 12 states have this law, and the Rajasthan's law is the most draconian. Anybody can give a complaint. Anybody. Even somebody who is watching you sharing the gospel can give a complaint and police can take action. That's what happened to this pastor. It was in his house. They were having a fasting and prayer, but they barged in and said that you're converting people. Absolutely no evidence. There is nothing. It was just a fasting and prayer in his own house, and he was put into prison for that. So there are a lot of difficult things happening around, and I think as a church we need to mobilize prayer, and prayer brings breakthrough, and he enables us to move forward through that. For our meditation today, I thought we'd look at the life of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. Something that is familiar for us. Probably you would have heard messages from the life of Nehemiah. And I thought I'd just look at some of the aspects of the life of Nehemiah that really touched my heart, even as I walk with the Lord and study from the life of Nehemiah. Some of the things that stand out as a visionary servant leader. As a visionary servant leader. All of us are leaders. You know, John C. Maxwell says, leadership is influence, period. And if we believe that leadership is influence, anybody at a given time is influencing somebody. Even a child is influencing a child. It happens reverse also. We all influence people, whether we know it or don't realize it, we influence people. With our life, with our words, with our actions, with our everyday life, we influence people. And that's what Campus Crusade believes, that every student, every workplace leader is an influencer for the Lord. He's a catalyst. So looking at the life of Nehemiah, we all know the context. He's in a foreign country. He's taken as a slave in exile. The most powerful country at that time, serving the most powerful king. And he's a cupbearer. He's in a very important position, in a very privileged position to be the cupbearer of the king. Top official, trusted by the king, trusted for everything, trusted for his life, very life. He's having a good life. Everything is going good for him, comfortable. You know, in a city like Bangalore, where things are very good for us, we are far away from persecution, far away from opposition, far away from every kind of things that we can imagine. We are in a safe place. In the same similar way, Nehemiah was in a condition like that, comfortable. But then, and when you open the book, start with the chapter 1, you hear, it says there, now it happened in the month of Kislev, in the 12th year, when I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them about the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity, the remnant, and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, this is the news that they bring. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and disgrace. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Not a great news, a tragic news. Now, verse 4 says, now, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I think that verse makes all the difference for that book. That's where it all starts for Nehemiah. A person who is sitting in a comfortable place, having all the things around him. A good job, good salary, good family, good situation. But when he hears this news about his people, about his city, about the condition of the people, something happens in his heart. And he breaks down. He breaks down. And it says there, he wept and mourned. Nehemiah's leadership began with a heart broken by the suffering of his people. He heard their distress, listened to their cries, and let their pain become his own. You know, many times we hear a lot of things around us. We hear terrible things. In the last 1 week, if you have followed the news, we have heard some atrocious things. I don't know whether you have heard those kind of things in the previous decades. Those kind of crimes are happening around us today. You know, there was this guy who was just scraped the side of a car. He just scraped. And this other person takes a U-turn, goes behind him and kills him. Road rage. We see that all around us. There are news where the spouse is killing the husband, or the husband is killing the wife, cutting them to pieces, storing them up somewhere. All these kind of things we have not heard before. That's the kind of news that we hear about our society. And when we hear that, when we hear those kind of things, what happens to us? Do we become calloused? Because it's very easy for us to become callous, because it is routine news now. Routine. Or does it break our heart? Because it says that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. I mean, those walls were physical walls. Those are walls that were protecting the city of Jerusalem. It gave an identity for the city. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar took, you know, close to 6 to 7 years to break those walls. There was a siege for years. Those walls are broken and burned. But today, when we look at our cities, it is not the physical walls that are broken down. There are many walls that are broken down around us. Families. You know, when we counsel people, many of the students who are going through depression are basically students who have coming from broken families, where the father is not there, the mother is not there, and they go through terrible turmoil. Terrible. Many of them, almost 90% of them, are coming from broken families. And that's where their turmoil starts. The depression is, the reason for that is from those families. Walls that are broken around us. Do we see? Do we hear? Are we sensitive to these news? Does our heart break? You know, first thing is the aspect of empathy. We all know what is empathy. You know, the feel their pain. Nehemiah felt the pain of his brothers when they bought this news. He could have just said, "Oh, I'll pray for you, brother." That's a normal rhetoric. When we hear bad news, when we hear a need, what we normally say is, "I'll pray for you." The Christian jargon. But do we really mean that? Empathy is feeling their pain. And when we listen, do we really listen? Are we sensitive to what God is bringing? And respond. Because you find, even as you read further, you find Nehemiah not only felt the pain, Nehemiah not only felt and heard this powerfully to his heart, he responded. He responded. And his response is given in the next few verses. Now, even as we hear these different things that is happening around us, what is our response? What is our response? You know, it is said that let our hearts be broken by the things that break God's heart. You know, there are so many things that is happening around this city, around us, which we hear and which we just take it as routine news and go away. But those are breaking God's heart. It is really breaking His heart. And do we feel that in our heart, even as we hear these different